Doctor of Discernment is on the air.
Ah, sweet.
Dispensing a daily dose of common sense, no prescription required.
Why don't you do the world a favor, pull your lip over your head and swallow?
This is the Greg Belford Show.
9 minutes past eight, cloudy and 35. Once a month, the mayor of Sioux Falls drops in for an on-the-air listening and learning session. Sioux Falls Mayor Mike Uther is here. Mr. Mayor, welcome back. How are you, sir?
Greg, doing well and doing even better now that the streets are in much, much better shape. And again, one of the things that I just am always enamored by or kind of freaked out by is weather forecasting.
Right.
And, you know, we were actually talking about Armageddon again last night with the forecast with, because we're thinking, oh, gosh, here we go again. Another ice storm. And then all of a sudden I wake up today and they said, well, everything that we said yesterday is no longer true when it comes to the forecast. So
it is such a hard, it's so hard to predict what the weather's going to do. Yeah. Absolutely.
And nowadays it's becoming probably even harder. But you do have to react accordingly depending on this weather. And right now I'm happy. It's a glorious day because we don't have any snow, any ice. Any wind, and so it's a great day.
And I know the decision was made last week not to call out the snowplows.
Yes.
Because I understand it's expensive, but I got to tell you some of the side streets, and I've heard this from other people, not overwhelming number of people, but people who heard me talk about this yesterday who said, you know what, same thing in my neighborhood, whether it's southeast, southwest, northeast.
Yep.
Some of the side streets are in bad shape, and it's kind of a rough way to start the winter.
The first snowfall is always a beast. People are learning how to drive in snow again. You make that call between, you know, is it going to remain cold? You also have that battle in terms of do you spend valuable taxpayer dollars knowing that it's going to be a 40-degree day for 3 days in a row? What's that balance? And folks, until you're in this role, you don't realize, but you're danged if you do and you're danged if you don't. The one thing, though, that we certainly want to keep people safe in Sioux Falls. We do. And you may not believe this, folks, but actually we had fewer accidents this particular snowfall than we normally do. And so I think we still kept people safe. However, at the same time, there were the outskirts of towns, especially the northwest. If you live on the northwest part of town, there it was different out there. Different snow, more snow. You had to battle the wind more. And so when we made that decision not to do the that snow alert, there was one part of town, especially that northwest, that we've had to do things differently. So we've gone back in there now. We are using those snow gates to get that ice off there. But, you know, it's not a perfect science. Every time we have a snowfall, guess what? I get letters every single time. But I will say this, and I mean it sincerely. You've got the best snow removal team, I think, in the country.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, I mean.
And I'm not one to ever complain when the plows go out.
Yes.
Just based on what I was seeing on side streets, and as I say, I've heard from just a handful of others, is that I kind of felt like we were making that decision for the main thoroughfares, which get a lot of traffic on them, and we all know they're going to clear. But side streets don't see that kind of traffic. For instance, the intersection where I'm at, there is, and I looked at it last night, and I was out for a walk with Katie. I said, Katie, all right, now you estimate how much ice is here.
Yep.
And, you know, it's over 2 inches thick, and it's a leading right up to the stop sign for 40 feet out.
Yep.
Areas like that where it's dangerous, and now I'm a little bit worried about that being we do get more rain on top of that or snow. Are we going to be able to lift that off, get it off the street?
So Sioux Falls, here's the deal. If you have a situation like Greg Belfridge just talked about, call it in. And what we'll do is we will go out there and do a tactical move where we will take care of that particular area. Because, again, when you are a city as large as we are, it's going to be different in different areas.
Right.
Especially those people that have drifting. You're going to have a different situation than others. Mark Cotter and I, you know, we were driving around town And I was driving around on the inner core of our city, and I'm going, what in the world? All these streets look really, really good. I don't understand why I'm getting this call or that call. And then Mark said, he goes, Mayor, he goes, I'll tell you what. He goes, I'm the same way until I went to the outskirts of town. And then he said, Mayor, it is bad out here, especially the Northwest. And so what we did is we took some very, very tactical snowplow crews, and we went out there, and you saw it last night. We were cleaning up those roads.
Yeah, I did see plows, yes. A few plows out this morning on my way into work.
So if you've got areas that you're concerned about, let us know, and we'll come out there, and we'll take care of that. But at the same time, folks, this is a very fiscally conservative audience. I know, Kello AM, I know their listeners. Here's some also reality. They are your valuable taxpayer dollars, and we are trying to be conservative and prudent, but also keep people safe. But it's $140,000 for every inch. So we had the opportunity to spend about, $600,000, $700,000 of your taxpayer dollars. We could have done that. We decided to be a little more prudent, knowing that we were going to have some 40-degree days coming, and we'd get through it. And we did. So, again, when you're the mayor, when you're the governor, when you're the president, when you make these calls like this, you cannot win, but I still love it.
I understand. 336-1320 is our phone number, 1-800-228-4435. Good morning, Jeff. You're on, Kello.
Morning, hey, Jeff.
Greg. How are you, Mike?
Good, good. Thanks, Jeff, for calling in.
You know, in my opinion, and I'm just sharing my opinion, it's one of many.
Good job.
As a person who is a taxpayer resident of Sioux Falls, I think a lot of the reasons we're using to try to support the decision not to plow these secondary kind of residential areas are also reasons why we should have. I mean, you're right. It is the first snow event of the year. There's a lot of people who are kind of retraining themselves on driving and people who are new to the area. But in my opinion, you know, when you aren't forecasted to get temps above freezing for the next day and night for, you know, a couple days, I can see why a lot of people view it as a disservice to the taxpayer not to do that.
Good job.
So it's not just in the northwest corner of town. I was in the southwest corner. I was in the southeast residential areas. And, you know, 6 to 8 foot along each curb is a gigantic frozen mess that I can't even drive a normal front-wheel drive car over without ripping the front bumper off of it.
Good job. Jeff, I'm just saying,
in retrospect, when I look back, it would have been different if it was going to be 38 degrees the next day. It's hard for me to support the decision not to plow.
Good job.
When we knew for the next 72 hours it wasn't going to be above freezing.
Well, good job, Jeff. And I wish that Mark Cotter were here as well, because I don't want to get into a would have, could have, should have, and looking back, because it's always easier looking back. However, I truly, truly respect your comments. I think that, you know, some of the comments I did get were, hey, I'm new to this area. I'm new to South Dakota. So I'm learning how to deal with this. So your comment about it being the first snowstorm, maybe that's the one that we should put the most intense effort into, because people are learning again or relearning again. I think that's a very, very appropriate comment. One of the things that Mark and Galen will try to explain to people is that we knew the temperature of the ground going into this storm. And we also knew that we were supposed to have 3 consecutive days of 40 degrees or more. We also knew that it was a Saturday and Sunday that was coming. So you take all that into consideration and you try to figure out the best approach to use. And so, Jeff, looking back, are there some things that maybe we would have done differently? Absolutely, we would have. But we don't have that luxury until you're actually in the battle. But, Jeff, thank you. Thanks for your comments. They were rational. They were reasonable. They were very, very productive. I would question. I don't know if we had a 6 to 8 foot snow drift anywhere in town. But it may
no,
have,
and I think he was saying 6 to 8 feet out from like
wide.
The curve.
Very
where,
good.
Right.
No, very
not,
good.
Not deep.
Very
yes.
good. No, very good, Jeff. That is appropriate, because especially in those drifting areas, it did. It was a challenge. So good job, Jeff. I appreciate it, and we'll keep doing better for you, and we learn more and more every time. So great job. Appreciate it.
Jeff, thanks for the call. 336-1320 is our number. Good morning, Lee. You're on, Kello.
Good morning. Well, happy Thanksgiving to both of you.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you.
I have a question, and I have a concern. The first concern is, for quite a long time, it's bothered me that the first block of LADA, just south of the of I-229, allows parking on both sides of the street. It has mailboxes on both sides of the street, and we have a commercial business there that has some very wide trailers, and I just think it's dangerous.
Okay.
There are many times you cannot meet. Now, that street, I'm sure, was put in the 1950s.
Okay.
And it's changed because now there are so many people that live up above that that use it. It's a lot busier.
Great job. Great job. Lee, this is a great job because conditions do change and we do need to adjust accordingly. Lee, what I'll do is I'll get to Heath and I'll get to Mark and we'll follow up on the first block of LADA, south of 229, parking on both sides. I'll get back to you and Greg and Todd and then we'll respond tomorrow with an answer in terms of what maybe we can change there. Good job. I appreciate that, Lee. And then you also had a question, too.
I have a question because I've not been closely following it. But
good job.
It seems to me that I don't understand a reason why we would not allow swim meets in the new Aqua Center.
That's on our list. That's on our list of things to cover here.
Oh, Lee. Lee, I am. Thank you. That was a great lead in. Greg, can I go?
You're itching to go.
Oh my gosh, Lee. And first of all, thank you. Thanks for calling in and thanks for having the guts to question me on that. And listeners, I don't know if you heard Lee, but what you heard was exactly what he's been kind of told or what has been spread. And, of course, you're trying to listen, you're trying to learn, you're trying to be an active citizen. And when you hear this stuff, like Lee did, every now and then you believe it. And, Lee, I tell you, this is so frustrating at times when all of a sudden you have, folks will cover something in a certain way, and I'm trying to be nice.
You're saying the media reported a story in which a single parent, one parent of the swim team, expressed concerns publicly that the city was not going to host swim meets at the new Midco Aquatic Center, something which, as I read, knew was absolutely incorrect, but I have the benefit of having talked to you and Don Carney and know what the plans are for the center. But there was a perception, it created a perception among people that the city was not going to hold any swim meets whatsoever at the new Midco Aquatic Center.
Not only was it incorrect, it was complete BS. How's that? Listeners, one of the most frustrating things that you do as a public servant is you try to do the right thing. We were trying to get an aquatic center built, something that we've been talking about since 1951. And then ultimately, as a community, we came together and we got it done. One of the things that we were very, very cautious with, though, during the debate, is that we wanted to ensure that it is a public facility first. That because there were all these rumors, and Greg, you took a lot of the calls about how this was just going to be for the swim teams, only the swim teams, and all these exclusive rich people who swim, they're the only ones who are going to get to use it. I came on your program.
That was a big complaint, it's the one I heard most often.
It was huge. It was huge. And I said, no. I said, folks, trust me. This is a public facility. It's going to be for everybody, black or white, rich or poor. It's for everybody. So then what happens? We pass it, and we get it built. Now, Lee.
And in less than a month.
I'm not done. I'm not done, and thank you. Lee, and again, I understand your concern because you did hear this crap that was being spread by a couple of people. We were open 23 days. 23 days. We had been talking about this since 1951, and then we got it built. We were only open 23 days, and all of a sudden, we had one rogue parent who notified us that if you don't do this, we're going to go to this media outlet, and then we're going to go to this media outlet, and we're going to make your life miserable, Mr. Mayor and Don Kearney. And that's exactly what this parent did.
And then, it's worth noting that they scheduled the swim meet, apparently, they publicized the swim meet at the center that they had not scheduled or cleared with the city.
No, exactly. I mean, who does that? Does stuff like that?
Do you, if you're doing a wedding reception, do you let everybody know where it is before you book the venue?
That's right. I'm going to have my wedding reception at the convention center. Everybody come. However, I haven't booked it yet. Unbelievable.
I know.
And this is
nobody does that.
No. And what drives me crazy is that just last week, the USA Today, they had a snippet that said Sioux Falls has a policy that they will not allow swim meets at the new event, at the new aquatic center. Folks, I am a business guy. I have told you now for 7.5 years that I was going to bring business acumen to government. We have done it. I've tried to do this more than any other public servant in the history of South Dakota, trying to become, you know, business savvy. And let's increase revenues. Let's drive economic development. Let's be cautious with the taxpayer dollar. Let's be prudent, just like you would do in your family, just like you do in your small business, just like you do in your church. We should do the same dang thing in government. And then what happens? I come out and I say, we are going to certainly have swim meets as part of the aura of this new swim facility, because it would generate economic development dollars. It would bring in people.
You and I talked about it.
We did. We talked about it forever. And then all of a sudden, there are some folks who say, well, now the city has a policy that they're not going to do that. Unbelievable. Folks, of course, we're going to have swim meets at the new aquatics facility. We'll be announcing that very, very soon, all in the spirit of not only providing a great venue for the public, but also showcasing this wonderful venue for people all across the Midwest so they can come here and do swim meets too, so that we can certainly generate economic development dollars. Because one thing, you know, whether it be Jeff or whether it be Lee, the only way that we pay for things like snow removal is through really sales tax dollars. And that's why we definitely need these swim meets being held here in Sioux Falls to help generate things like that. So, Lee, thank you. I truly commend you for calling in, because exactly, you heard that, and certainly you believe it at a certain period of time that it's true. But it couldn't be any farther from the truth. And you can probably tell I'm a little frustrated because of it, but it's part of the gig. It's part of the gig. I mean, remember when we had the all of a sudden there was this talk about how the mayor was controlling the thermostat at Carnegie Hall? Oh, my gosh. And again, you can't defend
yourself. Yeah, I was calling you Mayor McFreeze for a while.
That's true. The stuff that you deal with in public service. But at the same time, it's a wonderful gig. I love it. And so, Lee, great job. Thanks for bringing this topic up so that we could clear the air.
Well, let me jump in for a minute, because I want to give you credit.
Thank you.
Honestly, because as I just mentioned to you, as we were debating whether or not to build the center prior to, as part of all this debate, the biggest complaint I heard was the one that you touched on, is that people that said that this is not going to be accessible to the general public are going to wind up with swim meets, nobody else will be able to get in. And I really appreciate the fact that not only did the city hear that you are now, especially in the first few months of operating the new aquatic center, are making sure that it's the public that gets in there and tries it first. Asking the swim groups to wait a few months or wait until next year is hardly a big imposition. I think it shows the fact that you heard what people were saying and you're trying to address that, trying to respond to it. So I give the city a lot of credit for that. Secondly, and this is probably off the beam, but I'm tired of our local media taking the complaints of one person and splashing them either on the front page or making it the headline of their newscast. That, to me, is not news. That is somebody with an axe to grind. And it did not belong on the front page of the newspaper. It was a real disservice to, and whether you agree or disagree about whether we should have built that center, I think it's a real disservice to you and to the people, folks like Don Carney, all the different people who are involved in making that center a reality.
And then to make it worse, Kella listeners, listen to this. We provided all of the detail, all of the facts to those parties. We did. And sadly, that part was left out.
Of the story that we read?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's got to be frustrating for you. I mean, do you feel at times that we're not doing a good job of covering City Hall and what's happening?
I have, and I'm not blowing steam up, tail, but I enjoy Kello AM radio because you can share both sides of the story. You can have people like Jeff or like Lee that will challenge you, and then you can go back and appreciate some of the comments that they have, as well as then talk about some of the things that they may not know. But if you were trying to do that same thing with media outlets and only one side is getting reported, even though you've provided all of the other detail or documents or background that may make the story more boring, but no less factual, that becomes very, very frustrating. You know, President-elect Trump, he oftentimes, would say, that's not true. That part isn't true. Or wait, there's another part that was left out. That does happen occasionally, and when it does, it's very, very frustrating.
Sioux Falls Mayor Mike Uther is here. We've got a break here. I know a number of you are on the phones. We will get to your calls coming up. Got to get to a news and information block here. Welcome to the Greg Delfrich Show. Sioux Falls Mayor Mike Uther is here. I promise we'd get right back to your phone calls, so we're going to make good on that. Greg's been patient. Good morning, Greg. You're on, Kello.
Good morning.
Morning, Greg, and thanks for holding on as long as you have. Good job.
Not a problem. I knew once you got started on that Aquasar, I was going to be on hold. I understand. When you got to let it out, you got to let it out.
Yeah,
anyway,
thank you.
Several weeks back, I called and talked to you about on South Cliff, when you go up the hill, how the people are racing by on the right side through that turn lane. And, I asked if maybe like they could do something like they did on 26th and Marion. So people just turn one way. Do you recall that?
I do.
Oh.
And we responded back to Greg with some documentation on what we would recommend. If you want, give Todd your email address, Greg, and then we can respond directly to you. So that you've got the detail on what we would do there.
Yeah, hold on, Greg.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm going to put you on hold. Todd's going to grab your email address, and forgive me. Because,
no, it's okay.
I'm pushing buttons here. There we go. Let's go ahead and get Jeannie. 336-1320 is our phone number. 1-800-228-4435. Hi, Jeannie. You're on, Kello.
Morning, Jeannie.
Hi there. I just turned the radio on a little bit ago and you were talking about the aquatic center.
Yes.
I went there yesterday and got my membership.
Thank you.
If you have not been to the, anybody that's listening, if you have not been there, I strongly recommend going. It is fantastic. It's everything I had hoped that it would be. I don't swim, so I won't use the big pool, but the warm water pool that's shallow, it's gorgeous. And I just, if you haven't been there, go see it.
Jeannie, thank you. Do you have children or grandchildren?
I have two grandchildren, and we can hardly wait to take them there.
They're
going to love it.
Are they coming to Grandma's house for Thanksgiving or Christmas?
They live here in Sioux Falls.
Oh, they do. Well, please take your grandkids there and have a great time. And maybe you can go sledding in the morning and then jump over and go swimming in the afternoon. I love it. And Jeannie, thank you. But sincerely,
it is really, really good.
What did you do when you were there? You said you used the warm water pool. Is that right?
No, we just took a tour yesterday.
Oh, okay.
We got the tour and signed up for the membership and the whole deal.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, there is something there for everybody.
Oh, it is. It's just really, really nice.
Thank you, Jeannie. Thanks for the kind words. I appreciate it.
336-1320 is our phone number, 1-800-228-4435. you know, there are going to be people who say I'm a big cheerleader for you because I was on your side through this aquatic center thing.
Yeah.
You and I disagree about things.
You betcha.
And I hope that, for instance, I was like Jeff who called earlier. I thought the plow should have been out
yes.
this past weekend.
Get it?
But overall, like Jeannie, I really appreciate the approach of the city on that aquatic center. Because that was a big, big complaint that people had about whether it would be accessible to everyone.
Yeah.
And the city addressed it very nicely. And again, swim clubs aren't going to have their gym. I think those of us who follow this really closely,
yeah.
and not everyone can, but those of us who followed it really closely understood that. That's just a matter of having a little patience.
That's right. And I'll give you a scoop on Kello AM Radio. We will announce next week that we are going to be holding swim meets at our $24 million swimming pool in the spirit of fulfilling what we said we were going to do. So thanks for allowing us an extra 7 days or whatever to make that decision. But, you know how much I love this job, but there are times where you just want to go, really? Is this really happening? And sometimes it does, and you just react accordingly and do the best you can. So thank you.
You mentioned something else to me off the air, something that you've been hearing following the election.
Yes.
People that have been bending your ear yeah. about having encountered discrimination yeah. or hateful comments. Yeah. What kinds of things are you hearing about?
Well, and again, I don't want to get into the election too much or anything like that, but I think that there is a feeling, especially amongst some, that now there's going to be this tolerance for some pretty hurtful free speech and prejudice, discrimination, hate, whatever it would be. And in South Dakota and in Sioux Falls, we are pretty dang nice. But yeah, there's going to be occasionally some people who are going to be, you know, have some prejudice, have some discrimination, and maybe even have a little hate. We're not going to tolerate that in Sioux Falls. We're not. And here's what I need to tell everybody. First of all, if you are being discriminated against, whether it be housing, whether it be employment, whether it be just day-to-day activities, if you are experiencing prejudice or hate, then there are mechanisms that within the city government that can help you. So don't just let it occur. Notify us, whether it be Colleen Moran, whether it be the mayor's office, whether it be the police team, let us know. And then we will respond accordingly. And we'll check it out in the spirit of, you know, protecting you and trying to stop that. But at the same time, folks, if you are one of those folks who has some hate in your heart, or feels that it's appropriate to discriminate against somebody else because of their race, their creed, their color, their sexual orientation, their physical ability or disability, think again. Think again. It's not appropriate. Never has been, never will be. You know, if you are a person of faith, you show me one place in the Bible where it says that you should be, you know, hurtful or hateful or prejudicial or discriminatory towards others. Show it to me. It's not there. And so, I'm going to help lead the city, and I'll try to set the tone, but there's no place for that in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and we won't tolerate it.
Kello Radio News Times, 8:47, cloudy and 35. Sioux Falls Mayor Mike Huther is here. We were also visiting off the air in regard to the election, since yeah. we were just touching on it,
yeah.
about Donald Trump. And, you know, it's funny because I was thinking prior to you coming in this morning, as we're getting news, and Mike Pence was on Fox News Channel yes. last night, and he's saying, watching Trump, this is a CEO who is rolling up his sleeves and going to work. And Trump was on Facebook talking about outlining his plan.
Yep.
You know, this transition team, he put together an executive committee that's helping him sort through names and taking a very kind of business-like approach. And I know there's, in terms of ideology and particular politics, there would be a lot of difference. But in terms of the way that he's handling the office, it reminded me of you.
Thank you. And I am fascinated by this whole election. I'm fascinated by President-elect Trump and how he's come out of the blocks. I'm fascinated by it. I don't agree with all of it, that's for sure. But I'm fascinated by it because you're right, Greg. There's a lot of things that President-elect Trump is doing that were very, very similar to the way that I approached the mayor's office. I was that outsider that kind of defied all the odds and ultimately won against all of the most well-known, the most entrenched, the most experienced political candidates. I came out of nowhere and won handily, just like President-elect Trump did. When I got into the office, I made it very, very clear. There's a new sheriff in town, and I think President-elect Trump is kind of relaying that same thing. There's a new sheriff in town, and the one thing that he's doing that I really tried to incorporate is that I was not going to allow the special interest groups or the old, powerful, entrenched players to control the dialogue anymore, to control the policies anymore, to control where the dollars were spent anymore. I wanted the people, the citizens, to control it. I wanted them to ultimately be the decision maker. And that's why I told Greg, listeners, that, you know, I've heard President Trump say that same thing. He's going to throw the special interest groups out, and I'm seeing him starting to do that.
You have a ban on lobbying for anybody who works, on 5-year ban on lobbying for anybody who works in his administration.
That's exactly right. He's doing that. He is saying, no, we're going to go back to doing things that are good for the people versus that are good for the special interest groups. And so I really appreciate that approach. I also appreciate how, you know, as kind of you get hot at times and you certainly can really almost lose it at times. What I appreciate President-elect Trump doing is he is coming in, being a more calming influence, being more professional, being more respectful. You know, I surrounded myself with 7 people who helped me not only through the election, but who helped me through this journey called the mayor's gig. And they will tell me, Mayor, you're not going to go after him or go after her. You're not going to do that. You've got to find a way to, you know, stay calm, be respectful, be professional. Occasionally, on this program, I will let people know what I really think. But I appreciate that. And then, you know, maybe one last thing is that, again, I was certainly surprised by the outcome of the election. However, the folks, here's something that I think is important for all of us to understand, because I went through it. When I ran for mayor, I did it the old-fashioned way. I went door-to-door to all the businesses during the week, and then I went door-to-door to all the homes on the weekend. You know, I shook hands, I kissed babies, I did listening and learning sessions. I really wanted to get a pulse for the public. You know, what were the issues? What were the opportunities? And, you know, I don't know if you remember, there were a bunch of candidates, and there was a poll that was done about a month before the election, and I was in, what, 5th or 6th place.
And also ran.
And also, there was no way that, you know, nobody knows this guy, there's no way he's going to win.
Right.
Well, I went back to my advisory team, and I told them, I said, no. I said, I am in 1st or I am in 2nd place. I know I am. And I also told them that Councilor Kermit Staggers was either in 1st or in 2nd. And my team said, there's no way that's true. And I go, no, it's true. Well, guess what?
And why did you feel that way based on what people were saying to you, what you were hearing?
You have that pulse.
Right.
The real pulse, not the pulse taken by the prognosticators or the pollers or the power players who've been entrenched in this gig forever. You actually are engaging the people. Wow, what a concept. The same thing was interesting with President-elect Trump. And again, I followed it not as close as you did, Greg, but I followed it pretty closely. It was interesting. President-elect Trump kept saying, you know, folks, I know that they're saying that I don't stand a chance, but my pulse is not saying that. I don't feel that. He goes, as I'm engaging the public, it feels like I'm a winner. Kind of like what I felt like. And when he said, you know, I hold a gathering at 11 o'clock at night and 30,000 people show up. That is a pulse that he had versus what the power players had who were sitting in their, you know, their grand offices, looking at their computer screens, trying to figure out who the next president was going to be. So I think that you know, I value actually public servants or people who want to serve. You know what? I really value those people who actually take the time to engage the public. Wow, what a concept. You know, you got all these people who spend millions of dollars on ads and stuff like that. Wow, what a concept to actually engage the public and listen to people like Jeff and like Lee and like Greg and like Jeannie, and every now and then take some heat from them, because that's part of the job, and it'll make you a better public servant when you're done. And I think that President-elect Trump is going to be a better public servant because of the battle that he went through.
Sioux Falls Mayor Mike Huther is here. We'll wrap up with the mayor coming up here shortly. We got a quick check on sports. Cloudy skies, 35. You're listening to the Greg Belfridge Show.
You guys do a fantastic job.
Belfridge in the morning. Callow. News Talk 1320, 107.9.
It's 8:58, cloudy and 35. Sioux Falls Mayor Mike Huther is here. 60 seconds to what else is going on?
You know, it's the holiday season, so we do some really fun things in Sioux Falls, such as the Parade of Lights, which is coming up.
Exciting stuff, yep.
We'll light up the falls again. Bring your family down there to do that. And Sioux Falls, I was at the Empire Mall yesterday doing a listening and learning session. And I even though maybe those sales tax dollars seem like they're softening, I think there's a lot of confidence going into the season. We are more blessed in this area than most. A lot of great things happening. And I think we're going to break the construction record again. Lowest unemployment rate in the country. And Greg, maybe to end it, Bloomberg did a story on Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and it's in today's Bloomberg. So, again, Sioux Falls...
What did we get attention for this time?
For what we're doing. They want to share the story. How is Sioux Falls, South Dakota, how are you doing it? And they wanted to share it with the rest of the country, and I'm just thrilled to be part of it. So congratulations, Sioux Falls. You're kicking butt, you're taking names, and you're doing great stuff, and America wants to know how you're doing it. Proud of you.
Mayor Mike Huther, happy Thanksgiving, Mayor. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Ray. You too. Take care, buddy.
So long until tomorrow. And may God bless.
Hello. News Talk 1320 KELO.